Now, when we come with Abraham, we find that out of all those nations that God judged at the Tower of Babel, Genesis 11, God decided to take one man to build a nation to reach all the other nations of the world, to raise up a nation to reach other nations. So the other nations couldn't say to a group of people, "Ah, you don't know what we're going through. We're a nation. We've got a lot of problems. You don't know what we're going through." God said, "I'll raise up a nation. And that nation will be the channel of me to the world. And through that nation, I'm going to bring that deliverer promised in Genesis 3:15. And so in Genesis 3, chapter 12, verse 3, God says, "I will bless you, Abraham, and through you and your seed, all those nations mentioned in chapter 11 and 10 and 11, all those nations will be blessed with God's blessing." That was God's plan. And so God's plan continues. There's the Mosaic covenant with the nation of Israel, the theocratic nation that God chose. And then there's a special place for that nation. Every nation has to have a place to live. And God said, "This will be where you will be, and I will be with you. This will be the theater of redemption." Incidentally, where did the Redeemer come and live? The land of Israel. Yes. When is the Deliverer going to come back, and where is he going to set up his kingdom? Land of Israel. It's the promised land. That will be the center for the blessing of the whole world, first coming as a Redeemer. And then there's the Davidic covenant. Not only has the nation of Israel lost its theocracy in the great Babylonian captivity, but they also lost their priesthood. They also lost their divine king, a Davidic king. And the Davidic king is waiting on another throne, ready to come and reign on his throne. And that, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in exile from Israel. He's seated at God's right hand. But he's going to come back, and he's going to sit on the throne of his father David. That's what Gabriel said to Mary when he brought the message of the virgin birth. "And the Lord God will give unto him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob and of the house of Israel forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." We can't fudge and fiddle with the word forever there. Of his kingdom there will be no end, right out into eternity. And then finally we have this new arrangement, this new covenant, which we find in the book of Jeremiah, which deals with the sin problem of the nation of Israel, sin problem of the nation of the world. Now, there are some diagrams in the back of your chart. If you would like to go to pages 12 and 13, or just draw your attention to them, we can't remain too long on that particular theme, but we provide the information for you. Now, here is one that I have drawn up some years ago, something like a flow chart. How you go reading that? Anyone can't read that, you better go to the optometrist on Monday. That's it. I'm going to circulate to that to optometrists, okay? Generate a bit of business. No, I'm not in the optometry business, so I don't have read. Anyhow, there are those eight covenants. And you see that the first three, Edenic, Adamic and Noahic, have to do with humanity, with mankind. And then the remaining five, we have the Abrahamic covenant, and within that covenant there are special features. And on the left-hand side we have the land, which ends up in the Palestinian covenant here, or the land covenant, and then the promise of the seed is the nation itself, and then going to the Davidic covenant, and then there is the blessing with the Adamic covenant, which is taken up by the new covenant further, first advent, and then the second advent of the Lord Jesus, and then we have the Mosaic covenant, which is a main part in the life of the nation of Israel. And then turning the page, we've got a bit of color here. We have the promises made by God in covenant. Here we have Adam and Noah and mankind. And then beginning with the Abrahamic covenant, incidentally, this is Thomas Isis' diagram, which is very, very helpful. The Abrahamic covenant, here we have the land covenant, the Davidic covenant, the new covenant, as was the same on the previous diagram, and then all of those going down to the end time, and then we have the Mosaic covenant, the central one, coming down and ending at the cross. These others moving through to the time of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom. The Davidic covenant, there, the new covenant, having the church participating in its spiritual blessings, and then the nation of Israel participating in its physical and spiritual blessings, and that all is also keyed to the history of Israel. That is a lovely chart for Bible study. Now we want to have a look at the background of the New Covenant. We want to go back to the beginning of the story. We want to have a look at the book of Jeremiah, and then we want to have a look at a section in the book of Jeremiah called the Book of Hope. And right in the middle of the Book of Hope is the revelation of the New Covenant in an amazing setting. It has a special setting. It is different from the setting in the Gospels and in the Epistles. But this is going down, 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 down to the roots of where the story of the New Covenant begins. So here we go. Background to the New Covenant, main point 2 on page 2. Under this heading, we have some info regarding Jeremiah himself. What's something that you can recall from Jeremiah? Anything apart from the New Covenant? Weeping prophet, that's a good point. The weeping prophet. Let's have a look at that. Jeremiah 9:1. Jeremiah 9:1. This doesn't seem to be very appealing. A weeping prophet. I think I'll go somewhere else where it's happy. Oh, that my head were waters and that my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place for travellers, that I might get away from my people, and so on. So here is the weeping prophet, and he has a tremendous burden. Incidentally, he has the same burden that the Lord Jesus Christ had in his earthly journey, when the Lord Jesus Christ wept over Jerusalem. We have two prophets on record that wept over Jerusalem, because it was disastrous what they were facing. It was catastrophic, cataclysmic what they were facing, and the times that they were in, Jeremiah's time, and the time of the Lord Jesus Christ over his own people. Jeremiah's an interesting character. He's both a priest and a prophet. So he's an insider. He's in touch with what's going on in the temple worship. And also, he's getting a word from the Lord, and it's a different word from what all the other prophets are saying. And he is alone. And he suffers alone. And he is from the city of Anathoth, just north of Jerusalem itself. He has a kaleidoscope of experiences. Deep depression, Jeremiah 20. Ecstatic praise of God. Amazing trust in the Lord. Proving his faith that God is going to bring them through. Have a study of the life of Jeremiah, please.